Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our beings fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Thou hast loved us, love us still. the triumph of His blood. When my spirit clothed the immortal, wings its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the
everybody. Good morning or good afternoon, again, depending on whenever you are listening. We are putting these podcasts out, putting out these recordings on Saturday afternoon, late afternoon, and so gives people the opportunity, gives you the opportunity to listen either Saturday evening or Sunday morning or maybe Sunday afternoon, maybe into the next week, whatever works well with you and your schedule right now. And so whenever you are listening, however you are listening, it is good to be with you again. It's good to be with you. Yes, a physical distancing sort of way. I'm here alone in my office again. And yet I fully trust that we are still as one in spirit, that we are one in spirit. And so it is good to be with you in that way again. And just a moment, I want to invite us to turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 4. And so we will be going there, heading over there soon. But first, I want to start out with a story. This was a story that happened to Mary and myself some years ago. It was a whole lot of years ago now, back when we had two children, not the five we have today. So something like nearly 30 years ago. It would have been the early 90s, most likely 91, 92. It was early in the month of June on a Saturday morning. Andrew and Holly were hanging with Grandma and Grandpa for the weekend. So it was of rare and what we thought of as a grand occasion when Mary and I had some time just to ourselves, free to do whatever we wanted. And so we woke that Saturday. It was a peaceful and quiet morning, not a care in the world, completely free to do whatever, completely free to go wherever we decided. This day was going to be great. And so it was a beautiful and clear morning. We had a breakfast of eggs and toast, a cup of coffee. We loaded up the car. And then we headed west. We decided to drive up and along the coastline. We first stopped in Rockaway for a bit, walked along the water, grabbed a bite to eat. And then we started heading farther north up through Manzanita and Cannon Beach and Seaside. And then eventually made our way up toward Astoria. And it had been a great day, boundless, enjoyable. And now it was time for us to start heading back. It was getting towards sunset, and so we needed to start heading back toward home. So as we headed to the car, we remembered we'd grabbed some bread back at home and brought it with us, and the plan was to feed the birds. So we thought, okay, we still have a little time. Let's do it. And so we grabbed the bread. But keep in mind, this was not a loaf or two. I don't remember why we had so much, but we had one of those large black industrial hefty bags, one that holds something like 50 gallons. And so we have this hefty bag, which I literally had to like sling over my shoulder. I mean, it was like crazy jammed, completely jammed with pieces of bread. And so I sling this thing over my shoulder. We walk back out onto the sand. We're walking a little way out toward the water, standing there in the heart of the beach. And we look around, and there is not a bird in sight in every direction, and literally no birds anywhere. And so here we are standing in the middle of the beach, this massive bag crammed with pieces of bread to feed, and there are no birds in sight. And so Mary comes up with the brilliant plan. She says, well, just take out a piece of bread and throw it. Well, okay, so I set the bag down and I untie the top and I reach in, I pull out a small piece, I toss it up in the air. It comes down, hits the ground, and Mary and I just kind of stand there looking around, trying not to look too silly. So we're like, well, might as well try again. I mean, we've got all this bread, let's do that again. So out comes another piece. We toss it up in the air. Thud, right? It hits the ground. But this time, we notice way, 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 way off in the distance. We're not completely certain, but we think maybe way off, that little speck on the horizon, maybe it is a seagull. And so we wait and we wait and we wait, and pretty soon, sure enough, we see what looks like the flapping of wings. And then we see another one way, way off, and then it's three. And then we can count about seven specks. They're coming closer, and we see the flapping of the wings, but still a bit far off in the distance, but here they come. And so we reach in and we toss up a few more pieces. And now they're arriving and nearly overhead, and there's the one and the three and the seven all sort of hovering in the air around us, and we're tossing up pieces of bread and they're catching them. And in this moment, we're having a great time. Right? I mean, it's worked, just tossing out some bread, and we've got these seagulls, and we're tossing them, and they're catching them. We're having this great time. But then within literally moments, it isn't just three or seven, but it's now 10, which becomes 20, which becomes 30, becomes 60, and the 60 become far too many to count. And now it isn't just a handful of birds, right? It's like this swarm, and they are so thick and heavy, and they've now blocked out. It's an eclipse of the sun. And so it's like this winged vertebrate eclipse, this dark, ominous blanket of seagulls, not yards or feet from our heads, but literally inches above us, this dark cloud of flapping wings and claws and bird droppings. And I will tell you, it was downright terrifying. And so peaceful is now pandemonium. And Mary, she starts reaching in the bag and throwing more bread, just slinging it everywhere, which isn't helping. And what started as a pleasant idea has really become the stuff of a Stephen King novel. And so I yell to Mary as loud as I can. I'm like, run, Mary, run. And so Mary takes off at a full sprint, and I grab for the bottom of the bag. And I lift it up and I start spinning, and bread is flying in every direction. And then I let go of the bag and I run. I run after Mary. We're running to the car. Now I know it's a plastic. It was littering. I know, but I let go. I mean, we were running for our very lives. So this moment of peace and calm, these moments of joy and quickly, that all became out of control, pandemonium, chaos, Mary and I sprinting for our very lives. Okay, fast forward, we're now back home, thankful to be alive and well. And a few days later, I'm reading from Proverbs, and at 21 verse 5, it reads, "The plans of the diligent," and we can think kind of the hardworking, the thorough, the attentive, "the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste," maybe think impulsiveness, "leads to poverty." And I'm thinking that was us. All right, that was us out blindly tossing some bread around, hoping for the best, no clue as to what kind of dangers were lurking. And then a few days later, I'm reading from Proverbs again, Proverbs 24 and 27, where it says this. It says, "Prepare your work outside, get everything ready for you in the field, and after that, build your house." And so I'm thinking about all of this and thinking about the importance of planning and preparing and thinking not just about bread and seagulls, but about life and about getting on with life and what all of it, my being and my doing, is to look like. And then fast forward 30 years later to this week, right now. And again, I'm remembering that event and I'm reflecting on that experience and I'm thinking about that story again, not so much the bread and the birds as much as about getting on with life, but not just my life, but about our life, about our community life, our being and doing, right? What does it all look like? And here's the thing, although yes, in one sense, absolutely, it is all very different right now. Our today certainly is not like our 3 months ago. And yet, here's the thing, in another sense, it is very much the same. In a very real and deep and meaningful way, our planning, our preparation, our purpose together, all of our being and our doing, it remains the same. Yes, the way it all plays out may look a bit different today, but we are still a community together. The church is still the church. Ekklesia in the Greek, and what is a joining of two words, ek, meaning out from, and kaleo, meaning to call. Ekklesia referring then to the called out ones or called out from ones, meaning the church is still the church, called to do life in a particular way, called to a different way of being in the world, to a different way of being in relationship with others, to seek after, to follow, to live what is the way of Jesus, what is a way that is just as vital and important today as it was 3 months ago and 3 years ago and even 30 years ago. A way captured in this narrative, recorded in Luke 4 and 16, we read, he, Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, right? Born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, up north in the region of Galilee. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, right? This is what Jesus did. He was in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He stood up to read, which was standard practice, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. So here it is, some 2,000 years ago, up north, the lower slope of the Galilee, a little town sits in a hollow, some 20,000 inhabitants. They call this home. If you were to climb the hilltop, you would see a vast panorama stretching for miles. It is the Sabbath. Many have come to the synagogue, where bearded men in long robes are moving in and among these rows of pillars. There would be a clutter of low-hanging lamps. And so then we can imagine Jesus, he rises up, he moves to a raised desk, in the middle of the room, as would have been typical. The first part of the service begins with prayers. Before Jesus takes the scroll, he unrolls it and reads these words, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus then, he closes the scroll and moves to be seated, as was customary when a rabbi would begin to teach. And then he says these words. He says, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, what is interesting here, and I think important to note, is that among the greater scholarship is the opinion, the belief, the understanding that what Jesus read and spoke that day was not part of the Haftarah. Was not part of what was the scheduled reading for worship, meaning what Jesus did was something not done, meaning Jesus intentionally chose and read his own text. And in that, he announces the very purpose, the very plan of God, the mission of God, the very heart of God, what is it, the very purpose, why Jesus came, and with that, what is consequently the very real and deep and meaningful purpose of the church. Jesus, we could say, steps outside of established norms, which is so unlike him, right, to do something like that. He sets aside the scheduled reading for worship. Instead, he recites these words from Isaiah, right? "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The director of Lifeway Research, Ed Stetzer, he captures, I think, the heart of it when he writes, "God is on a mission," right? Meaning God has a plan, God has a purpose, God is up to something intentional, right? God is on a mission, and Jesus, he says, is the embodiment, we could say the personification, the illustration, the expression of that mission, right? Of the very real and deep and meaningful plan of God. In other words, God isn't just out there flinging pieces of bread and hoping for the best. Right? God has a plan. He has a purpose. God is on a mission, and Jesus embodies, right? He is the expression. Jesus lives out that mission, is the embodiment of that mission. But it doesn't stop there. Stetzer goes on, the church is sent on mission by Jesus. It's not that the church has a mission, but rather that the mission, think Isaiah 61, the mission has a church. Meaning we also are to live out the expression of God's work, of God's plan. Even today, even right now, even in the midst of COVID-19, yes, the way it all plays out may look a bit different. May look a bit different today, but we are still a community together. We are still the church together. We are still one in spirit together. And one thing, right, our mission remains. And we see this today in today's text. Jesus centers the entirety of his life, no matter what the circumstances, be it he's up on the mountains or down in the valleys, out on the streets or in people's homes, out feasting at wedding banquets, or in the midst of great sickness. Jesus was all about the mission of God. Jesus was all about the one thing. Tim Stafford, who is the author of a book titled Surprised by Jesus, it's there that he writes, as a result of seeing Jesus more clearly, and he's referring here to Old Testament prophetic passages like the one we find here in Isaiah 61. As a result of seeing Jesus more clearly, he says, I see my life and human life as deeper and grander. I see myself not as an isolated individual, but rather I see myself bound into his family. And we could think back then to last week and reading from 1 Corinthians 12, right? The body of Christ. And Paul says, now you are the body of Christ, right? And each one of you is a part of it, right? Everyone matters. In Stafford's language, we are bound together, family. He then goes on, he says, joining in God's astonishing flesh and blood mission, meaning his purpose, his plan, to redeem the cosmos, right? Joining in God's astonishing flesh and blood mission to redeem the cosmos. In Jesus' language, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now we could dive into some study here of the Hebrew. We could talk about how proclaim good news is just one word in the Hebrew, a verbal form of good tidings, meaning to bring. And then we read to the poor, refers to someone who has been a victim, and so we can think of injustice and inequality and oppression. We could do that, and that would give us some insight for sure. Or I submit we can look at the life of Jesus. We can kind of take a highlight reel of Jesus and think about the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the way of Jesus, and how he, for example, how he cared for the widow, and how he touched the leper, how he fed the multitudes and opened the eyes of the blind, how he included the outsider where even the crumbs are more than enough, how he talked of greatness and took a child in his arms, how he demonstrated greatness and washed another's feet, how he healed sickness and drove out the demons, how he served and sacrificed and suffered and invited all who would come to take up their cross, and how he lived and taught the sum of the law is love. And in a very real and deep and meaningful way, right, the mission of God remains the same, meaning our planning and our preparation, our purpose, our being, our doing, all of that remains the same. Yes, the way it all plays out may look a bit different or a whole lot different today, but we are still a community. We are still a community together, right? The church is still the church. Ecclesia, called to do life in a particular way, a way of being in the world, a way of being in relationship with others. A way, Jesus says, that stands with those who are suffering. And we can think of what that looks like today with COVID-19, the physical illness and all of the overwhelming anxiety and fear and the very real concerns about life and health. And with all of that, that sense of isolation and separation and loneliness. A way, Jesus says, that stands with those who are stressing. And we can think of what that looks like for those harassed with addiction to all sorts of stuff, and those who don't see a way out, and the increase in frustration and agitation and all of that leading to acting out in very harmful ways to self and others. A way, Jesus says, that stands with those who are struggling. And we can think of what that looks like for those out of work and unemployment and too many bills and too few dollars. And what about toiletries? And how am I going to put food on the table? A way, Jesus says, that goes the way of care and compassion and service and sacrifice and a benevolence and goodwill that seeks nothing but the highest good of the other. And to quote Tim Stafford, we are invited to join in Christ's astonishing flesh and blood mission to redeem the cosmos. We are invited to join in Christ's astonishing flesh and blood mission to redeem the cosmos. Which I think then invites us to consider, will we stand with the suffering, the stressing, the struggling? And maybe the better question is not will we, but how will we stand with those who are suffering? How will we stand with those who are stressing? How will we stand with those who are struggling? And of course, that all leads us to consider, right? We can think of our healthcare system and those suffering from health concerns and our healthcare workers. And what can I do? What can we do to stand with each of them? And perhaps standing with them means staying home. Maybe it means staying home safe and well. Maybe that is that thing you can do. And maybe you staying home isn't just a bother or a nuisance or an inconvenience, but maybe that is a discipline. Maybe even a spiritual discipline that expresses love to the other. To our healthcare workers for sure, but also to those who are vulnerable. And maybe that is how you stand with the suffering. And maybe you feel like you are struggling and the isolation is difficult. And so you commit to pray, to spend time in prayer for others, and you set aside time and space each morning or each evening, knowing the struggle is real, and you pray, and maybe you're the answer to that prayer, and maybe you understand the stress, and so you reach out to another, and you share your struggle, and in so doing, you bless another, and while you are home, maybe you are reaching out, sending a note, a card, an email, a text, even a phone call, maybe to your neighbors or to your friends, even your enemies. Maybe you started to be a pen pal to someone in Kenya and Chwele, maybe to one of the orphanages, maybe to one of the missionary families we support. Maybe a note to Heather and John Witherow, who recently came and shared about their work in South Africa, or maybe get in touch with Dan Kamek and see how EFM is doing and where there might be some need there. See how you might be able to support and encourage some that are out in the field and in remote places. Maybe it's someone you know who is alone, and so you check in, offering a connection, a heart of compassion, maybe a listening ear. Maybe during this time you are able to give financially to help provide food, and so you make an extra donation to our food share pantry, which continues operating as a drive-through and as a delivery. We've been making deliveries even this week. Or maybe you're able to get financially to help the one stressed out and struggling to pay their bills, and so you give to the benevolent fund. Maybe that is the thing you can do. Absolutely. Life right now, it is very different. And yet what I want us to get is that one thing, right? Think mission of God. One thing remains. Yes, the way it all plays out may look a bit different, a whole lot different today, but we are still a community. We are still the church together. We are still seeking the way of Jesus together. A way, Jesus says, that stands with those who are suffering. A way, Jesus says, that stands with those who are stressing. A way, Jesus says, that stands with those who are struggling. No matter what the circumstance or situation, be it up on the mountains, down in the valleys, out on the streets, people's homes, feasting, at wedding banquets, maybe someday, gathering together on a Sunday morning, or as it is today even, or especially in the midst of, think, COVID-19, in the midst of a great sickness, Jesus was all about the one thing. Jesus was all about the mission of God. And we also are invited to join in this mission of God, in this astonishing flesh and blood mission to redeem the cosmos, to proclaim good news to the poor, right? To proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Yes, everything is different, and yet one thing remains. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. And though we may be physically apart, may we be reminded again and again that we are still the church. We are still family. We are still one in spirit together. And in that space, you continue to call us. Right? The one thing remains, and that is the mission of God. A mission of care and compassion, of service and sacrifice. In that space, may we indeed stand with those who are suffering, stand with those who are stressing, stand with those who are struggling. Go before us, lead us, direct us, guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.